Well, this morning I have chosen a familiar text, which I think is one of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament. It's a statement of Jesus, and it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You'll recognize it as I read it to you today. Jesus is speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An invitation is both inclusive and exclusive. It includes all those who are on the list of people who are to be invited. An invitation is exclusive because if you're not invited, you don't have the right to attend. This is the most inclusive invitation that's possible. It is addressed to all those who labor and are heavy laden, or as the NIV translates, who are weary and burdened. I really am amazed at how some people cope with life because they have such difficulties. And I'm amazed that they are able to go through each day and greet each day because of the burdens that they have, that have been placed upon them, or that they have chosen to bear. I am most amazed at the fact that so many of these people who are so burdened have found relief from those burdens by their faith in Jesus Christ. It is so true, as I see in people's lives, that if you take the yoke of Christ upon you, then the yoke that you bear is easy and the burden is light. An invitation does not compel attendance. You can be invited, and then it's your choice as to whether you accept the invitation or not. There are two stories that Jesus told about invitations which were not accepted. Luke tells us about a man who had prepared a fabulous feast and had invited people to come. And then when he sent his servants out to tell them the meal is prepared, everything is ready, come to the party that I have planned. And one man said, I have just bought a field and I have to go see it. I pray have me excused. The second group that he went to see also declined the invitation which they had received by saying, I have bought some oxen and I must prove them today. And the third man that had received the invitation to this great banquet, he said, I have just married a wife, I cannot come. And so Jesus said the man who prepared the banquet was very angry at those who had declined the invitation, because an invitation never is a compulsion. It's not like a subpoena. You know, you get served a piece of paper that's called a subpoena, and you better adhere to it. And if they tell you to come to the court or to do something, you have to do it because there is a compelling force behind that piece of paper. But an invitation is certainly opposite of that. You can choose to go, or you can choose to not go. The second story that Jesus told was toward the end of his life in Matthew's gospel. Man had a banquet, and he went to great lengths in preparing a marvelous feast. And then when he sent his servants out to tell people, come, the feast is ready, they all began to make excuses. And that made the man angry that they had turned down his invitation. And that's when he said, go into the highways and byways and invite others who he had never originally thought about inviting. And so both of these stories of Jesus illustrate the fact that God invites us, but it does not compel us. There is a lot of controversy over the centuries in the meaning of election and the choice of God in our lives. I always like to refer to Paul's statement after many years as an apostle. He was explaining his conversion and his experience on the road to Damascus. And there was nothing compelling about what Jesus told him on the road to Damascus. He said, I was not disobedient to what I was told. There is a choice involved in being elected of God, and that's because an invitation has to be accepted or can be rejected. In the older translations that I memorized, it says, all who labor and are heavy laden. Work or labor generally is not intended here. We do not need release from work. We may need strength to do the work, but work is good for us. It is important to self-esteem. It's important for us to be able to support those who are that we are responsible for. And this morning I was thinking about what the Apostle Paul said. He said, let those who steal, steal no more, that they may have means by which to help the poor. We work not only to sustain our own lifestyles and our own expenses, but we ought to pray that our work will be productive enough so that we will have more than that and we can help those who have need. What Jesus is talking about is work that is unproductive, that is futile. And Jesus is describing an exhaustive, bone-tired experience in which one is struggling in life. And we can easily see that in people's lives and perhaps in some of our lives at different times, that no matter how much we struggle and how much we do, it never seems to be productive, and it seems oftentimes futile or in vain. When Jesus invites us to come to him, he does not invite us to become indolent or lazy. You can have a misconception of grace so that you also become lazy in life. That's in part what happened to the people at Thessalonica as they quit working because they expected the Lord's return so soon. And the Apostle Paul says if a man will not work, he should not eat. And that's a principle that is important. Jesus does not support us and give us grace in order to make us indolent or lazy. These are people who try very hard that he's addressing and are doing their best. However, what we find in life is that as much as we try and as hard as we work and as diligent as we are, oftentimes the results are minimal. And we simply rise to face the same problems the next day. And so this invitation that Jesus gives to us is for those who carry heavy burdens. It is expected that each person will carry his own burden. The Apostle Paul has statements about burdens or loads. Two statements in the same context in the book of Galatians chapter 6. He says, it is expected that each person will carry his own load. Earlier in that text, he says, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are sometimes a burden that somebody is bearing that needs to be shared. And even if it's a shared burden, the person himself or herself has the primary responsibility for it. The only requirement in Jesus' invitation is that you sense that the burden is heavy and unmanageable. The exact nature of the burden is irrelevant. He doesn't specify a particular kind of burden. And I thought of all those kinds of burdens that people are bearing that I wonder how do they manage? How do they do that? How do they meet each day? There is a burden that comes from being ill and facing all kinds of problems with one's health. There's the anxiety that comes with family members that are not doing as they ought to do. There's the anxiety of unemployment. There's the anxiety of having a job that's too taxing on us. There's the anxiety that comes from shattered dreams that we once may have entertained. Your burden may not be the same as any other person. Each person has a unique burden to bear in life. The only requirement for this invitation is that you sense that it is becoming unmanageable and you need help. I was thinking of those that I have known who have managed burdens that I don't know if I could have managed myself. One person came to my mind, my Aunt Merle. Aunt Merle was a very attractive lady, and she worked in the Fort Worth Police Department all of her life. And she met a handsome detective, and while he had somewhat of a drinking problem, even while he was a detective, it only grew worse once they were married. And alcoholism is a terrible, destructive disease that people have. And I saw her, and I've thought about her so many times in years that have gone by. She had three small children. Her mother, my grandmother, moved in with them, and her husband was fired for being an alcoholic, never could find a job, and they lived in a two-bedroom frame house. And yet Aunt Merle managed all of those things, sometimes with help from my Uncle George on financially, but mainly she just had to bear that burden herself. Well, the result of her managing that burden and depending on the Lord is that her son Mike is an elder in the church. He's visited here from time to time. And her two daughters are married to elders of the church. And so I look at that and I think, what a marvelous example it is of how Christ can help us bear our burdens. And she depended on the Lord for her help in dealing with what life had brought her. There is a gospel hymn that expresses it. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. And I like that phrase. Come to me, Jesus says, and I'll give you rest. That sounds almost too simplistic, doesn't it? Just come to Jesus. It sounds too much like a hyped up revivalist, and yet it's a beautiful phrase. Come to Jesus. Jesus used the idea of an invitation often in his ministry. He invited people to become disciples and to follow him. The very last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 22, contains this sweet statement. The Spirit and the bride, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride is the church of Christ. The Spirit and the bride or church say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Isn't that a beautiful last statement? Amen. What does the yoke mean? Take my yoke. I think it probably means to submit to his authority and practice his teachings. The Jews used the phrase the yoke of the law, or the yoke of the commandments, or the yoke of God. That's a phrase they often used. If we expect that answering his invitation means no more labor and no more burdens, we are wrong. He says, you put the yoke on you, which implies that you have some obligations and duties to do. We might say, well, I thought the invitation says he will give me rest. This putting a yoke on sounds like work. And indeed it is. If we expect that answering this invitation means no more labor and no more burdens, we are wrong. The rest that he's talking about is the ability to cope. And that's, after all, is what so many people desperately need. They need to have confidence that they can cope with what life has brought them. The term easy probably means well-fitting. The yokes of that day were made out of wood. A carpenter would make a yoke. An oxen would be measured for him to make the yoke, and then the oxen would be brought in and the yoke would be fitted. And as long as it was well-fitting, then it would not chafe or injure the oxen who was pulling the load. I think that's what he's saying here. You take his yoke upon you, and whatever you have to deal with in life, whatever responsibilities are yours, you'll be able to do them without injuring yourself or chafing under it, and without the pain that otherwise you would have. Come to me, he says, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I hope and I know that most of us every day start the day thanking the Lord in prayer and asking him to give us whatever strength we need and help that we might need to just face the day. And I am sorry for those who have so much in their lives that they have burdens that would be difficult for any of us to bear, but who lack this faith in Jesus that would give them the rest and the help that they need to bear the burdens of life. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time, and we're going to sing two verses. If any of you want to confess that Jesus is the Christ and to be baptized, we invite you to come to the front. Or if you have a special prayer request, we invite you to come while together we stand to sing.
Do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death and delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now?
Please have a seat for a moment. I promise I won't be long, but I want to share a couple of items with you before we go into our prayer. First of all, we want to announce that there will be no service this Wednesday night. So no service this Wednesday night. So find something else to do that's constructive. The other thing that I want to do is share with you, very briefly, many years ago, as part of the Marine Corps, one of the things I did was part of the Marine Corps boxing team. And we always boxed in certain weight categories. And the analogy I want to use for that boxing is Broadway, as boxing beyond your capacity, boxing as being a part of the community that's well beyond our capacities in many instances. Let me share this letter with you. And it's from the Ronald McDonald House. It says, "Dear friends, thank you for your continued support of Ronald McDonald House of Galveston. With you as our partner, we've been able to provide home away from home for literally thousands of families since we first opened our doors 34 years ago. Many of our guest families are rushed to Galveston with nothing more than the clothes on their backs and prayers in their hearts that their children will be able to receive the appropriate care once in Galveston and in the capable hands of the incredible medical professionals at Ronald McDonald's. There isn't a day that goes by when we can't find many reasons to count our blessings. Our house is filled with hope, with each family will be better tomorrow. Hope that today's treatment will make a difference. Hope that we will be able to see children live, thrive, and grow to be happy and productive adults. We have our friendships form and continue through the years. Thank you for your generous support and donation, breakfast tacos and fruits and money for families to enjoy. On behalf of more than 21,000 families that we have served, thank you for making a difference in the life of a child. Please know that we will always be known as the house that love built because of our wonderful friends at Broadway." That in and of itself is a note of thanks to Broadway. It's a note for us as Christians to do those things that are necessary to do to spread the word of God, the love of God. And it's a lot like boxing beyond your weight class. It's like a middleweight boxing a heavyweight. And we come out victorious. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, thank you so very much for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the capacity to do for others. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to box beyond our weight class, for us to reach out and do those things for other people within the community and around the world, and spreading your word, Heavenly Father, through our deeds, through what we do for others, how we encourage others, Heavenly Father, with the blessings you've bestowed upon us. We pray, Heavenly Father, we continue in that vein, and we continue, Heavenly Father, to be dedicated to you and be ambassadors for you here while we're here on earth. And thank you for Broadway. Thank you for the leadership of Broadway. Thank you for the membership of Broadway. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.
donate, what does he donate?